Hey guys, Nick Drosos,
Dr. Andrew Steinberg,
and welcome to another episode of
Have the Balls to Talk About It. So, today we got back my friend Dr. Zorn. Last time we spoke about robotic surgery, and you know, Kevin is an expert in prostate cancer. But in addition to that, for the benign disease of the prostate, the disease we call BPH, benign prostatic hyperplasia, which is when the prostate grows and blocks the canal and gives difficulty to pee and all the complications that can come with that. We've talked about that before. But there are many medications, and when that fails, or if someone can't tolerate or doesn't want medications, we go to the next step, which is the surgical or procedural techniques. And today we're going to talk about the surgical management of BPH. So welcome back.
Thank you.
Coming on the show.
And before we talk about sort of which where we used to be, in when I was a resident, the standard surgery was the TURP, scraping out of the prostate through a little tube and a loop, and that was pretty much the only option available. And that had a limitation of the size of prostate, 80 grams. And anything above that, you would actually have to open the guy out and scoop the prostate out with your fingers, a bloody surgery, and then close it up. So that surgery, I'm pretty sure, is not practiced.
I think we published on it. It's 2 a year. The modal for the 12 different residency training programs was 2 cases per year.
That's a lot.
This is about 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's usually, you know.
Okay. So that's the starting point. Now bring us up to speed about the surgical management of BPH. What's available?
Sure. It's definitely a crowded space. As we know, the medications are option one, surgery, the TURP, to now beyond TURP and showing equivalency.
TURP is what I was saying before, transurethral resection of prostate. Just standard electrocautery, a little loop, you do it through the penis and scraping
the
prostate.
When did they stop this type of procedure?
It's still being done.
It's still being done.
Because globally, from a cost perspective, it can be done anywhere. So it's done still.
It's cheap.
The loop itself is around $80 to $100. You use a glycine bag, you go in through the urethra with a scope, and you use this loop to reach out, almost like a paper clip.
Okay.
You press a pedal, and you pull back, and it cuts these little cylinder slits, and you do that circumferentially to grow that inside of that donut.
It's like a cheese slicer.
Yeah.
You're slicing away at the,
you know. But it sounds painful when you say it.
It's done under anesthesia.
General anesthesia.
You have to do cautery. You're at least over 1 or 2 nights, you'll get irrigation. It's a good surgery, but you're limited by how much you can resect over a given time. Because after an hour, you absorb that fluid and you get like wet lungs, and we call it TURP syndrome. So kind of 1 hour, hurry up, as remove as much as you can.
Okay. That's why there's an 80 gram cutoff for when you can use this procedure.
And then let's just say that from the published literature, we have a huge series from Munich where they studied over the whole population of Germany. The retreatment rate's around 8% at 10 years. So you want to get as much as you can, but the process can still happen again.
So then you'd have to redo it again?
Yes.
Okay.
It's one of the risks of discussing that surgery: bleeding, infection, incontinence, and retreatment.
And I see all these little things here. I guess this is the new way to do it?
Not the new, but it's another alternative. So just part of, let's have the discussion to talk about BPH, and now the portfolio of gizmos and different treatment options have lent into lasers, so there's green light, which we'll talk about, holmium laser, which assists the enucleation, sort of like the peeling of it inside of an apricot, and then you morcellate it in the bladder so you don't have to cut for big prostates, so the hole up, and then we get into aquablation, which is a robot-assisted executable surgery, which preserves the tissue around the ejaculatory ducts, and the ejaculation rate is about 90%. Whereas the standard TURP, 90% chance you're going to lose them.
Yeah, because you're scraping all the stuff you ejaculate from, so you end up having, you know, you can have an orgasm, but nothing comes out. So
these are all, I think, treatments. I call it prostate puberty. At some point, we don't know when it's the 40s or 50s or 60s, what causes it. We know there are certain hormones that relate to it, but this prostate will start to grow. So everyone on the audience, when you're 30, 40, your prostate's around 30, 40 grams, but the size, let's say, of a squash ball. But then it can grow to 100, can grow to 300, to 500. We've seen those kind of situations.
Is there a cause why it grows, Andrew? I know we've talked about it.
Just so you get an idea. Okay, this is 20 gram prostate. Okay, so that's kind of a 18-year-old, 20-year-old, okay? And then there's 30, and then there's 50. This one is cancer, forget about that, right? So we're talking about
80 and 100, 200 grams.
Right, so we're talking about prostates that could be four times the size of this.
And the problem that for us or for the community is that, you know, when you have a set of ears that are growing or you have a mole, you see it growing, you can visualize it. So other than the finger exam, which we know doesn't do a good job, so we now use ultrasound or transrectal ultrasound or MRI, we can get a better dimension of those three axes of the prostate to better gauge them, get a better assessment of their PSA, and then treat them based on that size. So if you have a 200 gram prostate, well, these options are available to you.
Without knowing how big it is, how do I measure it with just something by going?
Your symptoms.
Something by going to the bathroom, is there something that would directly tell me, I feel like my prostate is getting bigger?
So you don't know, but sometimes the prostate volume doesn't correlate with your symptoms. So anyone on the audience, if you want, you go to IPSS, International Prostate Symptom Score. It's a universal questionnaire we all use. Every study is based on that. It's a score on 35. The higher your number, the more symptomatic you are. So the IPSS score is also translated in 30 languages and validated. So that's your simple tool.
But the IPSS asks you what your urinary symptoms. Yeah. How many times a night do you pee? Do you feel like you're emptying your bladder? Do you pee often? Do you,
slow flow.
Okay.
And your quality of life. Are you happy with the way you are? And that'll help us decide what to treat. But the volume of the prostate doesn't always match up with the IPSS. I've seen small prostates 30 gram. Their IPSS is 35. They're in retention. I've seen some guys like big feet. Doesn't mean you're a size 12. Let's cut off your toes. It's not a problem. Your PSA may be higher.
That's funny. Because I use the analogy when I get consults, patients with big prostate. So I say, well, having a big prostate is like having big ears. If they don't bother you, leave them alone.
Right.
You know.
So as long as you're emptying your bladder well, that's something that a tool that we use called the bladder scan, a Euroflow to see how well you're peeing, the ultrasound. These are tools that we'll use as urologists to assess that. Because the biggest fear that we have, if your prostate's big, it's obstructing the flow. Symptoms, waking up at night, bothers your quality, or you're not emptying well, where you can get infections. Bladder stones, kidney dysfunction, and you need a catheter. And these are the things that we don't want to get to, but we unfortunately kept that at the last minute, and we have to talk about surgery.
Okay, so you do the green light. That's your baby, the green light laser.
He's about to ask me, what is the green light? So green light is just the wavelength. So it's a laser, and we all know what laser is. It's focused energy into a beam that can transmit through water. So it's not absorbed by water, so it'll pass through. And what we can do is we hover through the urethra.
Is it a laser?
It's a laser.
Okay.
So if you want, I have a bunch of videos, Zorn, green light, and there's a whole bunch that's by Boston Scientific. But ultimately, I'll go through the urethra exactly like a TURP. But rather than using a loop and then pressing a pedal and then digging into the tissue and then resecting, I sit on the surface. Let's say this is the prostate I want to ablate. I hover over and I'll press a pedal and laser will come out and hit the tissue and within milliseconds raise the temperature above 100 centigrade, vaporize. The tissue actually is ablated into carbon dioxide and at the same time creates a coagulative surface so it's not bleeding. So I can treat people on anticoagulation, older patients, large prostate, and I don't have an hour to work with because the irrigation we use is not the same type of glycine that could be absorbed and cause electrolyte abnormalities. So it's a safer, not time dependent, and the patients can go home the same day. There's no irrigation. So at the end of the case, a smaller catheter is used. I don't need to irrigate the bladder because there's a limited amount of bleeding, and the transfusion rates are less than 0.1%.
There's a huge difference between the two procedures for sure.
Yeah, but for the standard, a 50 gram prostate, a guy who has a lot of experience, it's quick, you're in, you're out, whatever. Yeah. This is good, but the advantage is really for, patients who are on blood thinners, patients who have much bigger prostates. That's when the advantage starts to really take off from the standard.
And how long does this take when somebody walks into your office?
So it's like painting the wall. Like I got to see what's the size of your prostate. So usually it's 1 minute per gram. So if it's 120 gram prostate, 90 to 100 minutes, let's say. So it'll take me as long as it does to get down to the capsule to really remove all that tissue.
And that they could do it like in the office and like in your office, or is it?
So there has been something doing it on a block. I still do in the OR under either a spinal or general anesthesia.
Okay.
Again, same day. So they'll come in. We'll put the patient to sleep or under spinal, give some antibiotics. I'll go in, I'll do the laser, I'll check to make sure there's no bleeding, and I'll put a two-way catheter, smaller, no irrigation, and they'll go home the same day.
Are they going to have discomfort or pain?
Well, I think
for sure there is, but like comparing to the other way, or?
At the end of the day, the real advantage, there's a study called the Goliath, like Goliath, which I don't know why they chose that. It was out of Germany for reimbursement, and they compared TURP to green light. And the big advantage was bleeding events, especially the next 30 days. So we can do the surgery, everything goes great, but then the patient lifts something, they're going back on blood thinners, there's more chances they're back to the eMERGE or so forth with bleeding. The hemostasis is superior with green light.
What about this baby?
So enter now a new wave of robotic technology. And as we've had the discussion, I like robotics. And what am I looking at? This is the disposable handpiece of what's called aquablation. Aqua for water, blation, remove. So in some sense, rather than using a loop to cut physically the tissue out or a laser to ablate, now we're using high pressure water. So this is the disposable part that would go through the urethra.
When it's done, you can use it to clean your car.
Maybe. But there's a sapphire opening, tiny little aperture, and the pressure of water that's pumped out through this system on the side.
Just water, there's nothing else.
Water only. So you can remove a segment of 7 centimeters. So what will happen, like a windshield wiper, your passage of water will come out at 10,000 PSI, and you can treat up to 2.5 centimeters of tissue, and for a length of 7 centimeters in 5 minutes. So before we were doing hole up and TURP, we're an hour and a half, 90 minutes, 2 hours of surgery. Aquablation now takes any size prostate from the Water 1 and Water 2 trials up to 150 grams, and there's been published series of other series over 150 grams in under an hour. So given our OR time, you know, 8 to 4 finished cases are will cancel, this opportunity takes time out of the picture. Skill, so rather than being going and doing a fellowship for enucleating, I set up an ultrasound. So the surgery itself is I put this in, and what you don't see, there's an ultrasound probe in the rectum. So real time, I see the prostate in both dimensions.
Oh, wow.
And you and I will plan out, how do we want to treat this? So you'll see the prostate, and you'll see the inner circle of what's called the transition zone. That's the area that goes through puberty, that grows out and compresses the urethra. So you design where you want to treat. It's a reverse CAD, if you want to say, of the printing, and you will just reverse design what you want to treat and press a pedal.
So as opposed to the robot for prostate cancer, where it's really, he's controlling it and it's robot assisted.
Yeah.
This, once you set the parameters,
the robot executes.
Robot does.
And you can individualize.
So you're still controlling it from outside. You're not.
No.
You're holding this as you're doing it.
No. This is all attached and docked to the side of the bed so that both the ultrasound and the handpiece are in the urethra and the rectum. You align them. That's half the surgery, is setting up, aligning, and then mapping out. You like, I want to travel to your house. Tell me your address. I go to Google Maps. It designs here. They're working on now even another level of automated. So you will help, the robot will say, look, I've done 1,000 cases. This is how I can treat. But right now, we will draw a circle of where we want to treat, what angles we want to treat, and then at the same time, what's the bladder neck? So they have a median lobe. Do we treat it, yes or no? And the most important part is the tip of the prostate. It's called the veromontanum. That is where the ejaculation comes out of. So there's what's called a butterfly cut, like, you know, your steaks, where you'll only treat the lateral wings. You won't treat the floor based on ultra precision. And for that reason, 90% of men will maintain their ejaculation, whereas all the other techniques for resection, there's a 90% chance you will lose it.
Okay, so advances of aquablation, maintaining ejaculation.
Faster OR time.
Faster OR time.
And we're working now on techniques to get patients out same day surgery.
Okay. And bleeding. Bleeding is.
Again, you can't offer this on someone on Coumadin or so forth. You'll have to stop blood thinners. So if they are actively on blood thinners, I would not offer this.
Mm-hmm.
So it would either be holmium or green light.
And the recovery is better than
I was part of the Water 1 study, and we did some cystoscopies at 1 month. And just like I'm sure Andrew, at some point we burnt ourselves with cautery. Right? And it took forever to heal because there's a lot of damaged tissue around that your body has to get rid of the damage before rebuilding. Like a hurricane comes, you gotta spend time cleaning up. Whereas you've all had a paper cut and somehow it heals up really quickly, but there's not a lot of damaged tissue. Because this is water only, there's no other thermal damage. My take is that the healing phase, there's a lot more, less of that irritative initial symptoms that some of these patients have to go through because their immune system's having to clean up and then you can heal. So that inflammatory response is markedly reduced.
And the catheter or tube in the penis for how long?
So once this procedure is done, we go in actually with a TURP loop and cauterize little blood vessels. We put a three-way catheter, and there's an algorithm for the next 4 hours of same-day surgery or overnight stay. So it's a three-way 24 French catheter, a little bit bigger. Same one we use for TURP. So, and then from that point, hopefully, you know, 90% of patients discharge the next day without a catheter.
Wow. All
right. But they're peeing like a racehorse, and I call them rocket men.
So there's definitely been a lot of improvements since when I was trained, when I started practicing. And this was a good summary. But we will definitely have to have Dr. Zorn back to talk about the next generation, which is not coming, but it's here. It's here and coming. Some of it's here, some of it's coming in the next couple of years. So definitely have to have you back to talk about that category of treatments.
And just to let you know, just to break the suspense, we call that MIST, minimally invasive surgical techniques, which are office-based. So all the ones we talked about today require hospitalization or overnight stay, anesthesia under general or spinal. The ones that we're going to talk about next time are done in the office.
So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of
Have the Balls to Talk About It.
There's one right there. You got to smack the balls. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Make sure to subscribe. Hit the bell as well. Join our Men's Health Club. Click the link right in the description. And we'll see you guys next week.